Welcome to the Grace Story Podcast, where we introduce you to interesting people and their inspiring stories. From Grace professors, current students, and distinguished alumni, to special guests and speakers on our campus, you can meet new people and hear how they are impacting the world around them. This podcast is recorded and produced at Grace College and Seminary, located on the shores of Winona Lake in the great state of Indiana. This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Sherry Lynn. Sherry is a nationally recognized Christian speaker, comic, podcaster, author, and playwright, known for many things, including her longtime podcast, The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, which she co-hosts with our friend at Grace and her friend and colleague, Brant Hansen. She is passionate about sharing wisdom and experience from her life and those of other Christians to the next generation. This is exemplified in works like her podcast, Snacks and Good Company, From the Eyes of Wisdom, each providing a platform for those more experienced to build in the next generation. She's working on a book right now, Holy Ghost Mama. Work is a compilation of widely loved, witty, wise sayings from her mother, Miss Bev. Sherry, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
By the way, this is intimidating to do a podcast with you.
Please, no. Oh,
my goodness.
You were
like the podcast host of all.
No.
Makes a good podcast in your mind?
What makes a good podcast for me is good story. I love good story. I really do. I am a huge fan of documentaries, and it does not matter to me it doesn't have to be a famous person. It just has to be a good story. And so, give me a good story and I'm all in.
Well, it's called the Grace Story Podcast.
Yeah,
so at least we got the story in the title.
Okay.
Give us a saying or two from Miss Bev.
Okay.
And then just tell us a little bit about life growing up and in your home and what that looked like.
Yeah. My mom, one of the sayings that she would say is, and this is in the book, it's a sorry dog that doesn't wag its own tail. And the story I tell is I was like a little bit of a child prodigy, in as much that I was never afraid to do public speaking. So I would just get up. And I had like a memory, like I could memorize scripture. Wow. They would like put me on like a little milk crate or a little box or whatever and make me preach and stuff. Cause I was from that kind of background. So if she can memorize stuff, if she can speak, obviously she's called to preach. Let's shove her out there, right? Like, so by 9, I'm doing these little silly sermons and everyone's all mesmerized by them. I don't know what I'm saying. Like, I'm just basically mimicking, but I could memorize scripture and things like that, right? So I was never afraid. So like Easter, Christmas, in our church tradition, they would get the kids in Sunday school, you would memorize a speech, and then after church, all the kids would get up one by one, you'd do the speech you memorize. And I would do it, right? Sometimes I'd do a little extra. Like my mom would have to sit us down and she would say to me and my brother was always terrified. So she'd say to my brother, you get up there and you say your speech. You hear me? Yes, ma'am. She said to me, you get up there and say only your speech. I don't want a bunch of extra. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So one time we're up there and the kids are getting up and doing speech. And I don't want to say the lady's name. We'll just call her Miss Nancy. God bless her. Miss Nancy says to me backstage, it's almost time for me to go out. And she says, are you nervous? And I said, no, ma'am. I'm like maybe 8 or 9. I said, no, ma'am. And she said, you're not nervous? And I said, no, ma'am. And she said, oh, you better be careful. And I said, why? She said, if you're not nervous or fearful, that means you're walking in the flesh. You have to be fearful so that God, basically that I was depending on something like that.
Yeah.
So then I was scared that I wasn't scared. And I just got, for the first time, I was just racked with fear.
Huh.
And I got out there and my mom's in the audience and I stood at the mic and I was just like shaking. Never had I done that before until like my eyes connected with my mom's eyes. She's just a gorgeous woman. She's 78 now. She looks 50, like gorgeous. And I could just remember connecting with her eyes. And then I said my speech. And afterwards, she said, what was going on with you on that stage? And I said, what? She said, why did you freeze? And I didn't want to tell her. And then I told her, I said, Miss Nancy said, if I wasn't afraid, that God would be mad at me, which is how I heard it. Yes. And she said, it's a sorry dog that don't wag its own tail. She said to me, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us love, power, and a sound mind. She says, so you get out there. And then my brother, I still remember, he goes, and wag that tail, right? So that's a story I tell in the book. But it was affirming to me for her to say to me, no, you don't have to live in fear. You don't have to walk in fear. If God has given you something, he's given you that. It's okay to be confident in what God has given you. And it's just those little sayings all through my life that she's given me.
So early on, you had this gift of communication, this ability and lack of fear to be able to do public speaking and communicate effectively. And, you know, now obviously that is your job, what you do all the time.
And I want to be clear, like, it's really all I can do. I can't cook an egg. I can't run a vacuum. I can't. I'm so enamored of people who can, like, function every day. I always tell my mom, I really can only write and speak. If any of those things go away, we're in big trouble, Mom. I don't know what we're going to do. Thank God he made a way for us to pay mortgage with me to write and speak, because that's all we got.
But to get from there to, you know, a career is a journey. So, and you're on a college campus. What did that sort of, like, late high school, you know, into your 20s time frame look like for this to go from a gift to a calling and a career?
It was pretty messy. It was pretty messy because I had grown up in a very churched family with a very churched background. So I always said preaching and worship leading was like the family business. You just did it because that's what everybody kind of did, right? So everyone has like kind of their degrees and some variation of church business. I wasn't going to do that, but it still was the thing. So I came from that background. When I went to school, I got a full ride in film and radio and TV, which is what I wanted to do. And when I wanted to focus in film, though, and writing. My grandmother was a playwright, and I always wanted to write, always wanted to do productions in that way. When I got to school, I started radio, and then that's all I wanted. I spent every waking moment at the radio station, every waking moment. Also, the waking moments that I wasn't at the radio, I was partying. I could not have possibly known. I was one of those little hotheads in church culture, like that high school church culture, you know, youth group and, you know what I mean, all of that. Because like I told you, they had me preaching early. So I really did think I knew who Jesus was. I couldn't possibly. You can't backslide that quickly. Like, you couldn't have known who Jesus was. I just knew him through my family and through my mom. You know what I mean? And I know a lot of people can understand what I'm saying. You grow up and you think you know, and then you get away, and then you realize I only knew a thing.
I knew up here.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah, I just knew a thing. I just, you know. And so, and I'm grateful for the thing because it was a foundation, but I got there to crash and burn. And I think, I just crashed and burned. And I didn't want to be there anymore because it was poli-sci and it was college algebra, and it was all the things. I don't want those things. I only want to do production. I only want to do, you know, what we're doing right now. We're sitting in a room with cameras, and I want to do that, and I don't want to do anything else. So I quit. The full ride, I quit because I just want to do those things. So I went back home, and there was the Art Institute of Pittsburgh. Had a degree program where that's all you did was just the production stuff. And so I went there with no full ride. Parents are cringing now. Administrators are cringing right now because I leave a university that I had a full ride at, and now I go and get a bunch of loans to go to a place where I could just do what I wanted to do. Now, in retrospect, I will tell you that that was God's. I don't want to say it was God's plan. I will say God used it because I did learn a lot of stuff that I did end up using. But that was the path that I took, and it was a rocky path. I was learning a lot of stuff, but my life, my personal life, was a mess. And I think around 22 years old, I went to my uncle's house. He's a pastor. It was a little storefront church. I went to his house, and I remember sitting on his porch, and he has glasses, and he's looking over his glasses, and he goes, "What's up, baby girl?" And I said, "Uncle, I think I'm going to die." And he said, "What's up?" And I said, "I don't know how to stop. Like, I have, there's something in my personality that makes me really fun, but I don't know how to stop. Like, I'm going to party myself over a cliff, and everyone seems fine going over the cliff with me." And he told me something. I say this all the time because he told me this. He told me, "Come sit under the word. You don't have to change yourself. Just come sit." And God, the word, if you commit to coming, I guarantee you God will change you. And so I just went to that little storefront church, and I showed up at that church smelling like weed, like alcohol. I don't know. I don't even know some of the stuff. I don't even know how I got there some Sunday mornings from Saturday night, but I showed up. And God did. He did. And I know that makes people cringe because I don't know that a lot of people think that you have to like do this thing where like, I don't know. That is my story. That on 1024 4th Avenue in New Kensington, Pennsylvania, at Rivers of Life Church, that little storefront church, God changed me. And that's where I started doing productions. In the church, that little storefront church, the youth in that area, I started like writing little plays because kids were everywhere. So I would write a little play, and there was a Salvation Army two streets down, and we would have a play at that Salvation Army. And I knew how to do it because that art institute, for whatever thing, you were allowed to sign out all the equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I would just do this huge production, and it just grew and grew and grew. And I learned how to do like hands-on productions, and that was my path.
So what I hear is like God gave you this gift of communication and being fun, and everyone knows you have maybe the best laugh there is.
I appreciate
that. I have
that.
A son
Thank
with
you.
One of those too, which is like if you can just get him to laugh. And so, you know, and so that can be used to party and that can be really attractive you are liked and loved in that context, but then your uncle says something beautiful of like sit under the word.
Yeah.
And the word of God transforms that into something now where you're using all of those gifts to create a party in the church.
Yeah.
You know, with kids and with your communication skills.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that is the word of God that
is
living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword.
I'm sold on it. I'm 100% sold on it.
That's beautiful.
It did it for me.
So I'm going to fast forward a little bit because, there's a lot to get to here, but you know, we have a partnership with you and with Brandt. And so I'm just even interested to know, okay, so, you know, you start working in the church, this becomes your career. Like where do you meet Brandt along the way and start this radio show now that's syndicated, I mean, everywhere?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was working at a network and things weren't going that great. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. And I found a listing for a job, and it was not to be on the air. It was just to help with like some, you know, content coordinator. That's what the job was. And I applied for it, and they called me, and I was like, they probably don't really want me. I was just skeptical, and I called back, and then they kept calling me. And so I interviewed with the guy a couple times, and then he was like, "Will you meet with the host?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I guess, whatever." And so I went and researched the network that the guy was at. And 100% transparency here, I went and looked at the network to see what they looked like demographically. And I thought, and I asked the person who was calling me, I said, "How many Black people do you have working at your network?" And he had a wonderful answer. He said, "Not as many as we like." because I said, I don't want, it was across the country. I lived in Pittsburgh. It was in Sacramento. I said, I'm not looking for you to be trying something and then decide, no, never mind. Now I'm 5,000 miles away from home. And like, if this is not a commitment for you or if you're trying, I don't want it. Like, yeah. Let's not do that. And he's like, no, I'm really interested in you. And so I said, okay, sure, I'll meet the host. And it was Brant. And it was, this tells you how long it was. It was on Skype. And
I still use that, actually.
Yeah, do you?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't Zoom, you Skype. And so we get on Skype, and Brant is how he is, sort of awkward on there, right? And then I get on there, and he, if you ask him about this meeting, he will say what intrigued him was, I seemed like I didn't care. And I was late for dinner. Like, I really didn't. I still thought that they didn't really want me. And I had dinner with friends coming up, and I was running late. So I just did it to be like, okay, I did it, right? But when we started talking, it was as if we, not just that we knew each other, it was as if we had been friends for so long. And that just shouldn't be. We have, like, he always describes it, like, where he's from, where I'm from, what our backgrounds are, why are we connecting like this? But, like, he brought up the Muppet Show. It's so silly, like, all of the silly Bugs Bunny weird crazy things that we connected on. And what I really remember from that meeting is his boss at the time subsequently becomes my boss. He was in that meeting and his face, like, what weirdos.
What is going on? Yeah, like, and this is an interview?
Yeah, we could not stop laughing. And then it took a few weeks for them to call me, but they did and asked me to come in. And I went in and I sat in on his show. And when I first went in, there's like puppets and flutes and slide whistles everywhere. And I was like, this is the weirdest. What is, like, it's a national radio network. Why are all of the, an accordion, like, this, now it makes sense. But then it was like, where am I? It was the strangest pawn shoppy kind of crazy place I was in. And then out of nowhere, he does a radio break on grace, the grace of God or the kingdom of God. And it was so profound, yet so succinct. It was 45 seconds. I remember because I looked up at the clock. And I said, how did he communicate that with such perfection in 45 seconds? I thought, man, that was, like, it erased all the puppets in my head. And I was like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
And so he...
Oops, my phone's ringing.
Perfect ringtone.
They told us to silence it, and I didn't do it, did I? Okay, we'll try that again. You're used to that. That happens to you, like, every day in the studio, so.
I love this. Bay Mary, that's just the greatest.
Didn't they tell us right before this to say silence your phone?
They did.
Yes.
Are you guys okay?
And I didn't know, Bay. We'll keep going regardless. I've listened to your show. That happens.
It does. Yes. It does. And it's usually my phone. So
is it usually your phone? Okay.
Well, it's mine that it'll, my phone will buzz because people call me all the time. Yes.
I see Brant getting, you know, he gets distracted by whatever.
Yes.
And, you know, you got to kind of pull
yes,
it back.
Yes,
it
does.
You
it
know,
does.
So pull it back for us now after that.
So I'm in the studio and it erases everything and I see... This guy really knows how to communicate the kingdom. He's just frazzled. He needs somebody to help him. And I can do that, right? Like, I can come alongside him and help him. I won't battle him for spotlight or anything like that. Because by that time, I had been through sort of like the ringer in the industry. And all I wanted to do was be with someone smart and humble. And I could play what we call in the industry, like the sidecar or the side chair role. I could play that and just be a help to him. Like the phones were ringing. Everything was crazy. He just couldn't process it all. He was overstimulated. It was too much. But I could answer the phones. I like that. I like talking on the phone. I like all of that noise and all of that. Everything that he needed, I could do that. But the scary part is that I did live in Pittsburgh, and that was in Sacramento, California, and I would be moving by myself. And I just remember him saying to me, if you do this, I think we'll have one of the best shows on the radio. And I didn't have a frame of reference for that. I really didn't. It was just very, very scary. But I decided to go for it. And I'm just so grateful to God for what he's put together. Because it could only be him. Like I said, everyone, it makes sense now. Everyone, Brent, Sherry, sure.
Right, Brent.
But back then, it was a terrifying leap. Terrifying leap.
How many years now have you all
been? We're going on 11.
11 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, and you've
obviously expanded out from, you know, the radio show as a content producer.
Yeah.
So you have the Oddcast.
Yeah.
But then you have some of your own as well, podcasts. So tell us a little bit about like some of the other things you're doing, whether it's the book writing or the podcast. Like what else you got going on in your world?
I have the book that's coming out that I'm so, so proud of that we talked about, which is Holy Ghost Mama. And I cannot be more proud about that. I knew that my mom was never going to write a book, is never going to write a book, but she has so much wisdom. And I wanted something. Everyone always asks about her, and I always bring her up on the show and on the Oddcast. And I just wanted to take some of those nuggets and just put them all in one place. Specifically for my nieces who are getting older, I wanted something for them that they had so they could hear their Grammy and always have that for them. And I just wanted for moms. Like I have another podcast called Snacks and Good Company, where we take a season and we just discuss something, one topic. And one of the seasons was young moms getting wisdom from older moms. And I had my mom on there. She never does stuff like that. That was a miracle to have her on there. And I just noticed from the young moms, I'm not a mother. And it was so good to have that podcast because I could ask questions. And not from a position of, you know, I'm struggling too, but really trying to help young moms. And I realized how much wisdom, they were just sponges. And I thought this book can help them too, right? Even to say to them, you're okay. You may feel like you're failing, but you're not. Everybody feels like that. You know what I mean? No one is out there.
I got three young kids. I understand.
Yeah,
yes.
No one's out there like, I am killing the game. And if they are, they're not. You know what I mean? So it's a love offering. That book's a love offering to moms and to my mom. And I'm really, really excited about it.
So you've got the podcast and you've got the book and you're here today. You travel around. So talk a little bit about, and you've kind of hinted at it even throughout, but what message, you know, do you want to get across to college students? Mm-hmm. And this has been kind of your thing, like next generation.
Yeah.
What message do you want to get across to them and why?
Oh, man. How can I boil that down? I think everything flows out of your union with Christ. To chase things, to chase platforms, to chase levels, and all these things, they disappear. They're nothing. It's Him. It's your connection with Him. Everything else is nothing. It really is. To get to this age, I'm telling you, it really isn't anything. And you'll spend your wheels and your time thinking about brands and marketing and all that. And I'm saying to you, your union with Him is everything. One of the funniest things, like Urban Bible Stories is one of the entities that we have, and it's stories that I tell using kind of urban quote unquote language. And I started that with my nieces, two little girls from Philly, and I wanted to tell the Bible in a way they would understand it. And one time Brant said, you should put that on the podcast, because I would record it and my brother would play it for them when they would go to sleep.
Oh, wow.
And Brant said, you should put it on the podcast. And I was like, I don't think people might feel a little sacrilegious. And I put it on and people loved it. They started playing it for their kids. And one of the Urban Bible Stories I was talking about was Moses, when he found out he wasn't going to make it into the Promised Land. And I said, he was like, all right, like that. There was no, because Promised Land is sort of like that big project, like
that thing.
But his union was with God was the thing, right? He's still with Him. I didn't make that. That's not going to, all right. You know, okay. You know what I mean? But I have Him.
Yeah.
He said that to him when he was, go with us. It's your union with him. That is the thing. And what are you doing with God? It's me and him. And everything else flows out of that. Perfect that. And that fruit of the Spirit is everything. And everything else, you know what I mean? The striving and all of that. I wish I could have told my younger self that.
And that's where, you know, our theme Humility Reigns this year on campus. Like, that fits so well. Like, hey, it's... If we're following in the way of Jesus and he was humble and yet he was God, then I can be humble and let God be God too.
And there's a rest in that.
Yeah.
There's a rest and you can relax. And when I say relax, that rest, out of that rest, doesn't the world need that?
I need that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just a rest. There's a rest that remains for the people of God, a rest that understands that he is God and I am with him and it is okay, so that I don't live in a constant anxiety, because if so, then what is the difference between us and the world?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what I would tell, and that's what I pray that my life will show.
I am excited to, we've had Brant on the podcast, we've had him on campus, but I'm really excited to have you here and show the other of the Brant and Sherry show and oddcast and all of it. And so thanks for coming today. What is the best way, if people want to, you know, tap in more to what you're doing and working on, what's the best way for them to follow your work?
They can go to, for the show, they can always go to BrantHanson.com. And then if they want some of Snacks and Good Company and all of that and my book, they can go to IamSherryLynn.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Our campus. And thanks for the many ways that you promote grace and have been a cheerleader for our campus.
We love it here.
And thank all of you for joining us today on the Grace Story Podcast. Thanks to Troy and Rick for their work in producing the podcast. And if you can like, comment, subscribe, share it with those that you think would enjoy it, we would love for you to do so. You can send us comments and questions, maybe a good joke, to podcast@grace.edu. And until next time, live your best Grace Story today.